Good morning and welcome. You're listening to News18.com's Daybreak. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to News18's podcast, The Daybreak, with me, Zoya Mateen. Let's quickly have a look at some of the top stories for the day. It was a dark Easter yesterday as the island nation of Sri Lanka was left reeling from a series of terrorist attacks which ripped through 8 locations in the country, leaving over 250 dead and more than 450 injured. Police have arrested 3 suspects so far in connection with the attacks and even seized a van which they believe was used by the perpetrators. Now, reports on Sunday described the attacks as the deadliest violence that Sri Lanka has witnessed since the bloody civil war which took place a decade ago. During the time, blasts also took place at Colombo's historic St. Anthony's Shrine, the St. Sebastian's Church in the town of Negombo, north of the capital, and the Zion Church in the east coast town of Batikola. Hours later, there were 2 more blasts, one of them at another Colombo hotel named Kingsbury, and the Sri Lanka government has confirmed that most of the attacks were suicide bombings. Police have said that 35 foreigners were among the dead, which include British, Dutch, Portuguese, Chinese and American citizens, with the US and Britain later confirming that their nationals have been killed in the attack. 9 foreign nationals are still said to be missing. 3 Indian nationals were also confirmed to be among those killed in the blasts, which took place in the 4 luxury hotels and 3 churches. Now, the churches in particular saw a massive number of casualties yesterday as throngs of people had gathered for the Easter Day Mass. While authorities are yet to confirm the names of the perpetrators, the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka revealed that the government had prior intel about the attacks but had failed to take adequate steps to prevent it. According to top intelligence sources, Zaharan Hasim of National Tawhidi Jamaat of Sri Lanka and his associates had apparently hatched the plan to carry out a suicide attack on or before 22nd April. Sri Lanka Police Chief Pujut Jayasundara had also sounded a nationwide alert 10 days before Sunday's attacks, but preventive measures were not taken. Now, in light of the attacks, Sri Lanka has blocked several social media networks on Sunday, including Facebook and the messaging service WhatsApp. This was a unilateral decision, said Harindra Dasyanke, a presidential advisor in Sri Lanka, and the officials blocked the platforms, he said, out of fear that misinformation about the attacks and hate speech could spread, provoking more violence. Moving on, a look at some of the other top stories from over the weekend. In a first ever in the history of the top court of India, sexual harassment charges were levelled against the Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi by a 35-year-old woman who used to work as a junior assistant at the Supreme Court. Now, according to the 4 media houses that first reported the news, the woman on Friday wrote to 22 judges of the court alleging that Gogoi had made sexual advances on her at his residence last year. The online portals go on to say that the woman had been dismissed on flimsy grounds after she had rebuffed the CJI's advances, and even the jobs of her husband and brother-in-laws had been affected as a consequence. She's also facing charges of bribery that, according to the online portals, were leveled following the series of incidences. Now, Ranjan Gogoi, however, denied the charges against him and described the complaint as a bigger plot aimed at attacking the office of the CJI and the independence of the judiciary. In an extraordinary sitting at the top court convened after the reports emerged, Gogoi said that this is unbelievable and I should not stoop low even in denying it. The CJI also made it clear that he was not going to be a part of the committee that will examine the charges against him. Moving on, Rohit Shekhar Tiwari's wife Apurva Shukla was detained on Sunday along with 2 domestic helpers in connection with the death of N.D. Tiwari's son. Now, according to sources, the deceased Rohit Shekhar's wife could be involved in hatching a conspiracy that led to her husband's death, and police are looking at her as the prime suspect. Now, according to sources, the deceased Rohit Shekhar's wife could be involved in hatching a conspiracy that led to her husband's death, and the police are now looking at her as the prime suspect. suspect. Crime branch officials on Saturday questioned Shukla for over 8 hours about her involvement in the case, and the autopsy report by the medical board comprising the AIIMS doctor had earlier confirmed that the cause of death is a homicide. The Election Commission has served 2 notices to the Malegaon blast case accused and BJP's candidate from Bhopal, Sadhvi Pragya Thakur, who managed to rake up quite the storm since joining the party last week. The first show cause notice was issued over a comments about the death of the former anti-terrorist squad chief Hemant Karkare, who lost his life during the 26/11 Mumbai terror attacks. Thakur, who accused Karkare for torturing her during her time in custody, said that he had died because she had cursed him to. In a reply to the first notice, Sadhvi said that her comments hadn't been defamatory and went on to say, and I quote, that it's my right to put before the public what had happened to me. Then on Saturday, Thakur quoted another controversy when she said that she had wiped off the blot from the country by demolishing the Babri Masjid in Ayodhya. She was later served another notice by the Election Commission. Now, the BJP, her party, has distanced herself from the comments that she has made and said that they are personal opinions and not the stand of the party. Now, following weeks of suspense and speculation, BJP on Sunday drew the curtain on Lok Sabha Speaker Sumitra Mahajan's parliamentary career as it decided to field Shankar Lalwani from the Indore seat. Interestingly, Lalwani is a Mahajan loyalist, and a Mahajan who is fondly known as Thai had withdrawn her candidature voluntarily after BJP list had failed to name her. The party, however, took a while to zero in on Lalwani, a former Indore Development Authority chairman. In fact, Mahajan is said to have pitched Lalwani's name despite several voices of dissent against him. Others within the Saffron party had been pushing for the candidature of Kailash Vijayvargiya and his close aide Ramesh Mendola, an MLA from the city. The Lok Sabha speaker then called upon the party's top brass in Delhi over the choice of its Indore candidate, following which Lalwani was eventually chosen. Right, everybody, that's all for today, but we'll be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, please don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you all have a really good day.
Thank you for listening. Stay updated by visiting news18.com.